Now, if you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to the passage that I read a little earlier in the book of Revelation and chapter 7. If you're not used to having a Bible in front of you, please don't worry. I will be making reference to it, but I will explain what I'm reading. However, you will find it helpful to have it in front of you. The passage that I read a little earlier in our service is a very interesting passage because it actually is a view of heaven. You know how sometimes you're interested in something. Somebody told me about the Louvre art gallery in Paris. And it was many, many years ago that I visited this art gallery in Paris. And I thought, I wonder what it's like now. And they say to me, do you know you can go on YouTube and there is you can walk through the whole art gallery and look at the various displays and so on. Well, I haven't done it yet, but I guess that's the kind of thing that's available. People take a camera into a famous art gallery or a famous city in Rome or somewhere like that. And then it's almost like you are there and you're getting the picture. You're getting a view of the art gallery or a city. And it's almost like you are there. And the passage that we have read, there's a man called John who was a follower of the Lord Jesus. And God gave him a view of heaven. When John wrote that passage, he was here on earth. He was on a Greek island. But God, in a sense, gave him a vision, a view of heaven. And that is what we read in that passage. Perhaps after the service, you may want to go back to it and have a look at it. Because it is such an interesting passage, a view, a tour, a guided tour, as it were, of heaven. Now, what I want to do in my message this evening, I want to ask two questions. Earlier, we had a presentation from a man with the Open Air Mission, and he put up several questions and gave us answers. Well, there's a couple of questions that come to mind from this passage. And what I want to do this evening is to ask a couple of questions and to provide answers to them. And I trust as I do that, you will understand what the Bible teaches about heaven. Perhaps you've never thought about heaven. Perhaps you don't give much thought to heaven. Well, I trust that as we look at this subject, it will help you to think about heaven. If you are a Christian, you should think about heaven. The Bible is full of heaven. And the Bible tells us that as Christians, we should think much about heaven because it says, as we think about heaven, so we begin to prepare our hearts to be there. The hope of heaven inspires us to live holy lives. And so we should be thinking about heaven, our eternal home, and therefore begin to pursue Christ-likeness because that is where we're going. And if you aren't a Christian, and I want to then say to you that there is a wonderful place, what we call a world filled with love and joy, a world filled with happiness and pleasure, eternal happiness and eternal pleasure, and eternal love. And God invites us to enter this place, and you need to think about heaven. So this evening then, a couple of questions and the answers that the Bible provides. The first question I want to ask is, who is in heaven? Heaven is a place, we know that. Well, who is in heaven? And this is the answer that the Bible gives in the passage that I read. I'm going to read from verse 9. And this is what the writer of the passage, John, says. He says, after this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. A great multitude that no one could number. a vast multitude, an innumerable company of people no one could number, from every nation, from all languages. That is who is in heaven, and that is what heaven will look like in eternity. This huge number, billions and billions of people. And they will be there from every nation, from all tribes and people groups and languages, standing before the throne of God. There will be people in heaven who at one time here on earth followed Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and religions like that, but who then repented, who turned from those religions and came to faith in Jesus Christ. There will be people from countries like Afghanistan and Saudi Arabia and Somalia. There'll be people from India, Sri Lanka. We were looking at Sri Lanka this morning in our morning service, a Buddhist country, Nepal, a Hindu country. There will be people from these nations who were born in Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, but who then turned away from those religions and came to faith in Jesus Christ. There will be people in heaven who were born in Christian homes, but didn't trust in their birth that, oh, because we were born in Christian homes, we're guaranteed heaven, but who believed in Jesus Christ. There will be people who weren't born in Christian homes. There will be people in heaven who were born in atheistic homes, agnostic homes. There will be people there who were born in totally sinful places, but who then believed in Jesus and entered heaven. There will be people in heaven who were converted as children and then walked with the Lord all their lives, having believed in Christ, and they will be in heaven. And there will be people in heaven who were converted perhaps in the last few days or even the last few hours of their lives here on earth. We know of one such man who in the last hours of his life was on a cross next to the cross where Jesus died. And that man, in the last few hours of his life, believed in Jesus and was guaranteed a place in heaven by the Savior himself. So there are people who were born in other religions and who became Christians. There are people who were born in Christian homes, and they came to personal faith in Jesus Christ. There are people who were born in non-Christian homes, and they came to faith in Christ. People born converted as children, people converted as in their old age. There will be people in heaven who at one time had lived terrible lives of sin. There will be people in heaven who before they came to faith in Jesus had abused their wives, abused their children, and had lived absolutely terrible lives. There will be people in heaven. We know this from the Bible. There will be people in heaven who had committed adultery and murder. There are people in heaven who at one time committed murder, but God in mercy saved them through faith in Jesus, and they have entered heaven. Heaven is a place with a huge company of people from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne of God. Now, I want to just apply this briefly to you before I make my second point. Perhaps as you're watching me this evening, you're not a Christian. And perhaps you're saying to yourself, it's too late for me. I know there are people who think like that. And perhaps this is what you are saying to yourself. You're saying, well, it's all very well, Sukesh, for you to talk about heaven. It's too late for me. I'm now an older person, and I've wasted many opportunities. I've never responded to the gospel. I have relatives who are Christians, but I've never responded to the gospel. It's too late. Well, it isn't too late. I've just told you, there are people in heaven who were converted in the last few hours of their lives here on earth. While you are still alive here on earth, you have the opportunity to believe in Jesus and be saved and enter heaven. Perhaps you're saying to yourself, well, it's okay for you to say there's all these people in heaven, but you don't know what a great sinner I am. And I know people like that. I know there are people who tell me this and say, well, you don't know what sins I've committed. You don't know how bad I've been. Well, it's true. I don't know what sins you've committed, and I don't know how bad you've been. I don't know that, but I do know this. Yes, you can enter heaven, because heaven is not through your good works. It is through Christ's good works. It is not because you have made efforts to enter heaven. It is because Jesus has done all that is necessary for you to enter heaven. And the blood of Jesus cleanses the worst of sinners and makes them ready for heaven. You have no excuse. You might be coming to the end of your life. You can still become a Christian. You can come to Christ and be saved and enter heaven. You might be the worst of sinners. You can still come to faith in Christ and be saved. Or perhaps you always thought you were a Christian. And perhaps you've gone to church all your life. And perhaps you've lived a decent moral life. And you say to me, well, I'm just not sure. Well, you can be sure. Because you can pray and ask Jesus to save you and to give you that assurance. Heaven is a place with an innumerable company of people from all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of nationalities, all kinds of sins that they once lived in, all kinds of lifestyles that they had. But they are in heaven, because they've come through faith in Jesus. So that is our first question. Who is in heaven? And the answer in verse 9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. The second question that I have this evening is this. How did these people get into heaven? We've seen that there are this vast company of people, billions and billions of people, and they've come from every nation and every tribe and every tongue and every language. Well, how did they get into heaven? What did they do to enter heaven? And again, the Bible gives us the answer, and there's a couple of verses that I've read this evening. There's verse 14, and then there's verse 17. Let me just read them to you. This is what it says in verse 14. This person has asked John a question. Who are these? And John says, sir, you know. And then the person says to him, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And then the last verse of the passage, verse 17, it says, for the Lamb is in the midst of the throne, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So this passage speaks about the Lamb. Now, if you're not familiar with the Bible, you may be thinking to yourself, this is rather strange language. It says they have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And then it says the Lamb in the midst of the throne shall be their shepherd. Well, it's speaking about Jesus. That's what it's speaking about. It's one of the ways that the Bible speaks about Jesus Christ. It calls him the Lamb of God. And so this passage is telling us how these people from every tribe, every nation, every language, this huge multitude of billions of people, it tells us how they entered heaven. And I want to, first of all, answer the question in its negative, or give you a negative answer, and then a positive answer. How did these people enter heaven? They did not enter heaven by their own works. They did not enter heaven because they were born Christians. No one is born a Christian. You need to understand this. You might have been born in a Christian home. Your parents might be wonderful Christians, church-going people. That does not make you a Christian. Children born to the finest Christian parents are not born Christian, are not automatically guaranteed a place in heaven. They didn't enter heaven because they were born Christians. They didn't enter heaven because they had lived decent, moral, upright lives. We do not enter heaven because we live decent, moral, upright lives. Our own efforts, our own lives, and our own works do not take us to heaven. They did not enter heaven because they were wonderful religious people who were baptized as babies, went to church all their lives, and said their prayers and read their Bibles. That's not how you get into heaven. Now, it's a good thing to go to church. Of course it is. It's a good thing to read your Bible. It's a good thing to pray. But you mustn't trust in these works. You mustn't say to yourself, well, I've been going to church ever since I was a baby. My parents took me as a baby. And I've been going to church all my life. And I'm a decent religious person. And I read my Bible. And I say my prayers. And therefore God will surely look upon me with favor. And God will surely say to me, well, you've done wonderful things. You've lived a decent life, a religious life. You've gone to church. You've earned heaven by your works. Perhaps you're thinking like this. These people did not enter heaven by their own efforts. You don't read about their efforts anywhere in this passage. You don't read that they were born to Christian parents or they went to church or anything like that. You read nothing about them. This passage speaks about Jesus. It doesn't speak about what they did. It speaks about what he did. So how did they enter heaven? They entered heaven through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. They turned from their sin. They repented of their sin. Earlier in that video, he spoke about repentance. And he said repentance is a change of direction. It is saying no to sin. It is leaving the road of sin. It is leaving a life of sin. It is turning away from sin. And it is coming to Jesus Christ. And it is receiving Christ as Lord and Savior. It is people who have come to Jesus Christ because they know they can't enter heaven, who have come to Jesus Christ and have trusted in him alone. And they have said to him, I can't get to heaven by my efforts. I can't get to heaven by my religious works. I'm trusting in you. I'm putting my hand in your hand and I'm asking you to take me to heaven. If you take me to heaven, I'll get to heaven. If you fail me, I have no other hope. They trusted in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the perfect Savior because Jesus Christ came to this earth for that very purpose, to save sinners. When he was born, the angel said to his father, you shall call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. At the age of 33, he went to the cross and he died on a cross. And as he hung on a cross, our sins were laid upon him. And he paid the penalty for our sins. And he shed his blood that we might be cleansed from our sins. And he shed his blood that we might be forgiven and we might be right with God and we might know salvation, the forgiveness of sins. If you are not a Christian here, if you're listening to me and you're not a Christian, I don't know anything about you except this. You're a sinner before God. And you need forgiveness and you need salvation. And the only way you will find forgiveness and salvation is in Jesus Christ, in his life and his death and his resurrection. All who come to faith in Christ, all who put their trust in Christ, are forgiven all their sins, and they are made right with God, and they have a guaranteed place in heaven. The answer that was given to John, they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Not they by their own efforts have made themselves clean. Do you see that? Doesn't say they by their own efforts have made themselves right with God. They by their own efforts have somehow found a way of overcoming their sins. No, they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And right at the end of the passage, it says the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd because he's their Savior. They have trusted in him and he will guide them to springs of living water. So as I close, I ask you this question. Are you trusting in Jesus Christ alone? Can I say this to you if you are not a Christian? And I say this with utter sincerity. If you are not a Christian, you've never been born again, you've never known the forgiveness of your sins through Jesus, I say this to you, if you do not enter heaven, the fault, you know, is yours. If you do not make it into heaven, it will be your fault. God has provided a way for you to enter. God is offering you his Son. And God is saying to you, put your trust in Jesus. God isn't saying, work hard, earn your way into heaven. He isn't saying that. He is saying, trust in Jesus. Ask Jesus to save you, and Jesus will save you. Ask him to wash you clean in his blood, and he will wash you clean in his blood. Ask him to forgive you your sins, and he will forgive you your sins. So he has opened the gates of heaven. And he has said to you, trust in Jesus and you will be saved. Now, if you remain unsaved, if you don't enter heaven, the fault is yours. These large multitude, billions of people are in heaven. Well, heaven can't be such a difficult place to enter if billions have entered. The way can't be that difficult, and it isn't. It is faith alone in Christ alone. It is trusting in Jesus. It is asking him to save you from your sins. Who is in heaven? A vast company, an innumerable people from all sorts of backgrounds who trusted in Jesus. How did they get into heaven? Because they didn't trust in their own works. They didn't trust in their religion. They trusted in Jesus, and so they entered heaven. May God bless you. And may God show you the way to heaven, and may God put you into the way of heaven.